Welcome to La Liga Weekly. We're recording this on Monday, so we will share it later. Don't want to be disrespectful by sharing it in the midst of the funeral for Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. So we'll crack on. I don't want to, you know, you can lose track of what's disrespectful, because apparently these days in Spain, black footballers celebrating goals is disrespectful. So that was beyond the pale for some. It was interesting, wasn't it, then at Madrid's first goal last night, there was a coordinated dance amongst the Real Madrid players. On their second one, however, Vinny just gambled around like a lamb who was enjoying the fruits of spring. So unfortunately, I mean, we are going to focus on the football, because that's what we're that's what we're here to do. But there were some Atleti fans. There were obviously objects thrown when the Real Madrid players were celebrating that first goal, definitely. And at Courtois' goal later, there was some racism. Well, you couldn't really hear on the feed that we were listening to. But that's, you know, but apparently in the stadium it was clear. So, you know, that's it's unacceptable. Hopefully those people who did it get what was coming to them. Atleti got nothing from the game. Now, Terry, I'm not one to give advice to Diego Simeone. You know, everything he's achieved in the game. I'll give you one bit of advice. When you're losing, don't waste time.
Yeah.
Can someone point that out to Atletico? They did. You know, it took me back to the Man City game in the Champions League when they got knocked out of the Champions League last season. They were losing. They were chasing the game. They started a fight. Like Hermoso started the argument. That took a minute to take a free kick, and then he gets himself sent off. I know. Sabios. Let's.
It was actually
say the word cheated.
But
did it successfully? And Atleti, they're just, honestly, they're driving mad sometimes. You think sometimes they create a fight, because they deliberately made it awkward, in the first 2 minutes, didn't they?
Yeah,
they
that was how I was going to make that point.
Yeah.
Simeone could have got booked.
Yeah.
But one foul, and that was it.
Yeah.
He ran on the pitch and demanded punishment and action. He was trying to get, I can't remember who the players were involved. But he was trying to get the referee to send off a Real Madrid player in the opening 2 minutes of the game for a nothing foul. And with the nature of the game in terms of the atmosphere in the stadium, the rivalry between the two teams, the last thing it needed was Simeone to inflame it, because it wound these players up. And then when you do get wound up as Atletico Madrid, where your performance can suffer, not always. Sometimes in the circumstances, you can galvanise performance, but when you're playing, and that can be for a massive underdog, and the manager's doing that in the early stages of the game, and he was whipping the crowd up, and the players get fired up, it can get an increase in performance from a team that probably shouldn't win the game or shouldn't even be able to compete. But they were that needed a different approach last night.
It doesn't really suit
them.
They've
got good players,
a
big club, and Simeone didn't need to do that. And you're right, in the last 20 minutes, I lost count of the times there were stupid fouls by Atletico Madrid players who were just too lazy to run back. I thought Koke should have been sent off for his one. I can't remember who did it to. It was a blur after the commentator of the game, but he chased someone. The ball got knocked past him. I think it was Rodrigo, and he didn't pull his shirt, trip him. He kicked him.
As
far as I'm aware, play in that manner, that attitude, where you deliberately kick an opponent with no attempt to win the ball, it's cynical play. I hate it. And I hate sometimes when commentators or co-commentators go, oh, he's took one for the team. I hate that cynical stopping of the game, only punished with a yellow card. You know, I don't care how bad the challenge is. When you deliberately stop the play like that, it should be a red card. And it put an end to that. But Koke actually kicked him. He didn't just trip him, pull him.
He
kicked him. So for that, when the ball was miles away, and you know, Sal came on, he did it. Hermoso, why did Hermoso get involved in that row with Danny Carvajal? It was a foul, and the referee gave the foul. You're losing. You need the time. He chased 20 yards. I think when Hermoso is in and out of the team, he's so erratic. He's incredible. He scores the goals. He gives away penalties. He gets sent off. And it's almost like he feels that's his best opportunity of getting a game by emulating the behaviour of his currently lunatic manager.
He makes an impact,
some players think it endears them to the crowd.
Yeah.
become a crowd favourite because they're a lunatic. He's not the first player to do it. And it was ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous.
Good player Hermoso is, but you know, he's got this record of scoring these late goals. If he was a strength of forward scoring all these goals, you'd be impressed. But obviously, he didn't know anything, he didn't know much about that, did he? He maybe flinched, didn't he? And,
he turned his back on it, didn't he? You think it's a mistake by Courtois, Militao gets a touch.
It was a bit of a mistake by Courtois, though, because he needn't have been there because Militao's jumping. So Militao's. It wasn't like a terrible mistake by Militao, was it?
No.
Courtois should have been on his line.
And he struggled, actually, surprisingly, last night. There was 3 or 4 corners he struggled with, which was first time we've seen that for a while. So they agreed on him actually coming for the majority of corners before the game, I don't know, and he didn't look comfortable with it. There was others. Witzel should have scored early in the game, but didn't actually get any contact on the ball, and it was very similar to the goal that Atleti scored. But the Real Madrid are a really good team. They were good last night. They managed the game well. They've got good players. A coach that his heart rate doesn't go up. And it reflects on the players, and as opposed to a coach who's on the verge of getting booked and sent off every week. So Real Madrid were really, really good. And with that Benzema as well.
Yeah. So let's analyse the game then. We've got to find something new to say about Real Madrid, because this is sort of how they played, haven't they? They get a measure of control over the game, not necessarily dominating the game, which they didn't dominate every aspect of the game, but they defend well enough, and they then do these sort of lightning attacks, don't they? That are just very, very good and hard to defend against, aren't they? It was a lovely goal by Tchouaméni. So Tchouaméni plays that pass. Now, as you said in the commentary on ITV4 last night, Felipe, could he just have stood still or just jumped up and headed that away? In which case, then it's not a brilliant pass, is it? It's fine lines football, isn't it, sometimes?
Yes, yes. I mean, it's a difficult one for him to deal with. At best, he probably could, I would suggest, get a head on it and flick it behind for the corner or something.
Yeah.
As opposed to trying the acrobatic overhead clearance. But it was very Benzema-type goal, because Rodrigo is the player that pops it off and then moves. And that's what Benzema does.
Yeah.
Now, particularly last season, Benzema to Vinicius. But then Benzema makes a run in the box. Vinicius only looked for him, and that was the return pass. And that was the similar last night. Rodrigo dropped deeper, popped the ball off to Tchouaméni, and then makes the run. And it's difficult to pick up the run. And then when the pass is of that quality as well, I mean, Tchouaméni has been superb since he signed. And now you look at all that Casemiro achieved. If Tchouaméni can achieve half of that, it would be an unbelievable signing.
Right now, but it's looking like an upgrade, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, when you look at the deal, you think, my goodness me, they've pretty much got Tchouaméni for free on the basis of the fact that they got for Casemiro a little bit extra, and they've got a player who's 22. It's a great piece of business by Real Madrid, and he does the stuff that Casemiro does, and then but Casemiro produced passes like that as well. So I don't want to, give Casemiro any stick. His time at Real Madrid was exceptional.
Yeah,
he's always going to be hard to replace.
But the game moves on, doesn't it?
They might have done it.
Yeah, the game moves on.
Might have done it.
Yeah, and Tchouaméni looks like an upgrade at the moment, doesn't it? Now, obviously, what is it? Middle of September, and he's only just arrived. Yeah. Well, it's hold fire against a guy who's won 5 Champions Leagues, I think, isn't he? Casemiro.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm really trying to avoid. That it's just the difference in age as well, and the business of what Real Madrid have done. I think it's probably cost them about 10, 15 million euros to change a player who's in his 30s for one who's early 20s.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a Benzema type goal from Rodrigo, and it was difficult. They've overcome the absence of Benzema. They don't want to do it for too long. Yeah. Because when you think about adding Benzema to that group last night, you think, actually, all of a sudden you're thinking, they might actually be better than the team last season.
Yeah.
And they won the league and won the Champions League. So it's a really good goal.
Yeah.
And then the game is theirs. You know, they're not particularly fussed if they have dominated possession. As you said, they defend well. Midfield players know when to defend, when to attack. They have a rotation in midfield. They have the energy of Valverde. So Valverde, when I talk about rotation, Valverde and Modric were in strange positions at times. They were swapping positions. Modric doesn't mind being in the wider role. He doesn't mind
Did
being
you
in the front
notice
three.
I saw someone mention it who haven't, obviously didn't watch a lot of Spanish football, where they put the lines on, doing the, what it could be, 4-4-2, 5-3-2, whatever. They tried to put it on Valverde in a front three, but he was at right back at the time, wasn't he? Did you notice that the line went? I don't know, it sort of went from
Vinicius
to
Rodrigo,
Rodrigo and then it right back right past everybody to Valverde. He's obviously not right midfield. So, you know, it's just that flexibility, I guess, isn't it? And Carvajal then goes into midfield. I guess it's just to make players available for the playing out from the back, so they're not as easy to pick up, I guess, is what's going on.
And they found it, because they're so good at it, they found it quite easy on a couple of occasions, or more than a couple of occasions, so suddenly Modric has got loads of space.
Yeah.
And he can find the pass to the front players, and, you know, and Vinicius can break, and Rodrigo can break, and Valverde will break from wherever he is, whether he's at right back or right wing or right midfield. It's, you know, Valverde, the more I see Valverde, he's reminding me more and more of Steven Gerrard at his peak.
Oh, one of
those players that can box the box, great skills, great finishing, power.
Mm.
And that's the level of play that Valverde is at, you know, 24 now, years of age. He's an important player for Real Madrid because he covers so much ground. And with the quality. That's the issue. When you play against Real Madrid and you try to close them down up front, they've got the ability to play out under trouble. They actually, some of their players thrive on it.
Yeah.
You know, you think you've got close to normal players, you can get there and cause them a problem, but not for Modric and Kroos and Tchouaméni now and Valverde and Rodrigo and Vinicius and the fullbacks, and they just pop it into the player and they're off, and it's three or four one-touch passes and they're out. So...
We've rehearsed what's up with Atleti, and it sort of, I'm sure we saw anything new in the central defensive areas, as we've, you know, a failure to recruit, and we've talked about here, and then I thought that was evident in the game again.
Yep. Yeah, we're blaming Felipe.
Yeah.
He was at fault for the second goal as well. When I say
it's
at
slow,
fault,
he
was left.
And
Real Madrid are probably thinking, well, we'll pop it down that side. They've got a decent player out wide on the left, Vinicius. There will be space. They might play the three at the back. It become a mishmash in the end. I was looking at it and thinking, is it a three? Is it a four? It was one of those games for Atleti again. You know, at times Reynildo was left back. At times he was left-sided centre-half. At times Carrasco was wing-back. At times he was up front in midfield. Llorente was, so at times, in a right-back, in a back four. Sometimes in midfield, untidy again. And I think you're right that the you know, Savage and Jimenez missing is an issue, but it has been, was last season.
Yeah.
The fact that Witzel is probably their best centre back says it all. Reynildo, I think, has been good, but he can be a little bit rash at times. He was borderline close to getting two yellow cards. Probably should have done, actually, on one occasion, the second one. And it just looks really untidy. And it's a big issue, Atletico. I think it's becoming bigger and bigger, to the extent now where week one, you're thinking Morata got two, Griezmann got a goal away at Getafe, João Felix made all three. Simeone did say he knew his mistakes and errors from last season. But I don't see any evidence of that anymore. Morata were left out last night.
Well,
Carrera has been bright, but he doesn't start games. João Felix has played all eight games, hasn't scored a goal.
That's what I want to talk about, João Felix. So how serious is this issue? When do they need to push it? As you said last night, he's been there a long time now. He's not a kid who's come through the ranks. I guess you just got to put the fee away, haven't you? That's paid now, and there's nothing you can do about that fee anymore. Because it looked to me last night, I was thinking they were missing Morata, and then you think, okay, the weird situation with Griezmann, where he played last night, but he's not normally. So, and it, the obvious one, and he took him off, was João Felix. It seemed the obvious problem in the attack. Yeah. He too much broke down around him. He didn't offer enough threat. I thought he was a real problem.
It didn't offer any threat. There was no threat, was there?
Yeah.
And I thought Griezmann, considering the circumstances, looked bright, particularly in the first half.
Yeah.
But he's not playing up front, so he's not alongside João Felix. He drops deep and gets involved, and he's that link-up play between the midfield and the attack and out wide and keeps things ticking over. So it's an issue. And, you know, I hear time and time again, we're building him up before the game as he's an obvious player. If you, you know, just watching Spanish football, you haven't seen too much of it. Wait till you see João Félix. And every game goes by now, and he's not having an impact on the game. You know, he's a year older than Vinicius and Rodrigo. You know, he's 22, they're 21, and he's been there four seasons, and he's a 1 in 4 goal scorer, which is okay if you're making goals and you're filling up a highlights reel every week of all the back heels and the step overs and the nutmegs. But we're not seeing that. And at times, I agree, it might not be an ideal fit between the style of play and the style of coach. But there has to be a time now where we're 8 games in, he hasn't scored. And everybody tends to blame that part of it. Is it the right style of play? Is Simeone the right coach for him? But there comes a time when the player has to take some responsibility. And I think I'm not slaughtering him. You can clearly see he's got talent. But we need to see an end product. We need to see some substance from his play. He's not an 18, 19-year-old anymore that we think, oh, he's going to be a player. He's this, he's that. There's got to be something there now that proof that he's going to have a massive impact on games for Atletico Madrid. 126 million euros. I know you say put the fee away, but there has to come a time where he has to prove some sort of value and impact, or they deal with the situation. And there will be takers because he has got quality.
Yeah.
In the right team with the right coach and stuff, it would be. But then we need to see those. I'm desperate to see it, to be honest, because I've been one of those that's, oh, João Félix is this, João Félix is that. But now I'm getting to the stage where I'm thinking, well, come on, you know, show us.
No one's given them anywhere near 120 odd million euros, are they?
I don't know. I have to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Unless you can interest
the transfer window is.
Unless you can interest Newcastle or Manchester United in it, then there's not, because he's not at the level to play for any of the top teams, and they're the only ones who've got that money, aren't they? So he's just not, is he? He's not playing at that level to go and play for Man City or Liverpool or someone.
PSG.
Yeah, he's not there.
Bayern.
Yeah.
Bayern wouldn't spend that much, Barcelona.
Yeah. And again, no, if any of that lot, it's a no, isn't it? He's not playing at that level to play for any of those. So that's what I mean by put the fee away, in that you're not going to get that fee back. So you've just got to treat him like one of your players. So if Correa is better, then put Correa in. If Morata is better, then put Morata in, I think. Yeah.
And now I'm looking at the points gap. They're 8 points behind Real Madrid. So title race is probably going to be out of the question, because you don't see Atletico going on a massively unbeaten run and closing a gap on Real Madrid. And now you're looking at the top four. And then I've said this season, I think Sevilla might struggle to do it, so we might see someone new in there. We might actually see two different teams in the Champions League spots this season because of the way that things are going with Atleti. So
we'll see how they get on against the smaller teams. That's what they messed up last season, wasn't it? We'll see, if they're more efficient this season, they'll be fine. But if they're not, then they might be in trouble. Shall we crack on and do Barcelona?
Yeah.
I mean, it was, I'd hesitate to say easy, but certainly made easier by the fact that they played 10 men for a large part of the game. I thought it was a red. I thought it was the panicky, it was Verdú, wasn't it? Lewandowski would have got a shot away, wouldn't he? He'd have had a clear shot at goal. So therefore it's a red. That, I think that's all the law demands, isn't it? So I don't think there's
14 minutes. Isn't it? It's weird. You kind of, as a coach, you kind of say, it's happened when I've been coaching. You try to say to the player, did you not think, actually, I won't let him go.
Yeah.
He scores, and we've got 11 men for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind it was the 14th minute and you're away from home against Barcelona.
And you've got
a goalkeeper. But in that split second, your natural reaction is grab him and bring him down.
Yeah.
Play the rest of the game with 10 men. That split second where you have that decision making is impossible sometimes. But you sit there and think about it.
Yeah, but that's the measure of a player, isn't it? In that,
exactly.
Don't panic when these big moments come. But he panicked, didn't he? He thought, oh, he's away. Or what he's probably thinking is, if I foul him now, there are other players around, I'll get away with it. I think that's part of his calculation. But like you say, it's all in a flash. But he wasn't, he was going to get a shot away, wasn't he? And so it's a red card, it's fine. And then Barca, I thought, given that they'd made changes, were very efficient. I thought Memphis is a good level of reserve, isn't he? For took his goal beautifully, didn't he? And Lewandowski, obviously, more goals.
Well, I was thinking, I've seen this goal before from Memphis, and it was pre-season against Inter Miami. It's exactly the same.
Right,
okay. So he puts himself up against the centre half in the box, and he backs in. He finds the centre half.
Yeah.
And you can pin them, and then you can feel them coming around the left, coming around the right. So once you've got them there, the centre half's job then to back off,
and not
get so close. But defenders, they kind of like sometimes they think they're marking tight, but some strikers are good at using that, and it's the same drag back, and it's the same left foot finish. Mm. This isn't a move that a player just made up on the spur of the moment. It's a move that the player has practiced, has worked on. His teammate Baldy knows he can do, so he shoves it into his feet in the penalty box. It was a brilliant finish, and Lewandowski was top quality again. They probably should have scored more than the three. Pedri was a joy to watch. It was a routine afternoon's work for Barcelona on the back of losing to Bayern, getting back to the winning habit. Did you see that the attendance was double of the corresponding attendance last season? So when you're asked about, why did Laporta pull all these levers? Because he believed, and he's correct, it's worth speculating with a club like Barcelona. And it was 40-something thousand last year. This year it's 80,000.
Yeah.
And that will continue now. Whoever they're playing, they're going to get 80,000 in. It's good for La Liga. It was quite miserable last season watching games at the Camp Nou with half the attendance and no atmosphere in the stadium. Yeah. And now you're looking at it and it's full up and everyone's optimistic. They're seeing star quality again on a regular basis. So I don't know what the revenue is from one game to the other, from 40,000 to 80,000. Obviously, a big increase.
At the risk of making myself unpopular, though, Terry, where were the Barcelona fans in the club's hour of need?
Exactly. Yep.
So, I
agree with you. There was 20,000 against Granada last year.
I know what you're saying. It was raining and flooding around the concourse and everything. And you think, well, that
I was there Friday, John. I went in the supermarket and I came out 10 minutes later and it was damp on the floor. And I thought, oh, it must have been a bit of rain. It was empty. Everyone took cover. And then when people started coming back out, they were looking at the sky and they were like, it's just been spitting for 5 minutes. And people that live in Barcelona said that a few years ago, they had like 2 centimetres of snow and everyone started leaving their cars on the main road and walking home. So the weather, it's quite amusing. The weather, the rain, and when they rarely get snow,
but
it's a disaster zone. So 20,000 against Granada, everyone thinks, oh yeah, but it was raining.
I mean, the finances aren't done. That I saw more reports that they're going to have to pull more levers again next season to hit the limits. So they'll probably have to sell players, won't they? Probably have to sell them. Here we go again. Frankie
Sell the ones they got them free.
Yeah.
Some of those.
Well, Kessie got away. He's the new Casemiro, isn't he? How many people did he smash in the face in the course of that?
Three. And the first one was borderline red. I don't think he throws his arm in, but it's clumsy. And I think he's an aggressive player. I can't imagine he was getting away with this in Serie A. I can't imagine he was running around knocking people over 3 times in half a game of football with his forearm and getting away with that. So it was bizarre that he kept happening in the same game in 45 minutes of football. 3 times he clattered people.
So let's nail this down. I'm not sure I would have sent him off because I forget who the defender was, the second one, because the defender is really low because Kessie, his arm is down by his side. It's not up here.
Yeah.
It's down here. And the defender almost dips. Yeah, I forget who it was. And he gets hit in the face. So it would have been harsh to have given him a second yellow for that because he hasn't, like you say, the first one, it wasn't
the
like...
The first one with Boye, he was...
Him. Yeah.
His Boye arm, was hurt, wasn't
he's
he?
He's waving up face. There. And so I think the ref probably called it right.
Yeah.
And he's just he's a bit lucky because he could easily have called it wrong and sent him off, I think.
And then there was the third one as well.
Yeah.
And you're thinking all three, I think, might have been accidental.
Yeah.
He hasn't done it with any intent, but he's done well to get to half time. And it was no surprise when Gabby was brought on at half time for him.
Yeah.
But he's got attributes, isn't he? Kessié, he's different to the other players. He gets in the box. He's good on the ball. A strong player. It gave him an opportunity to get some playing time. It was a straightforward performance for Barcelona. With, as you say, players rested. They found it too easy. I think they should have scored more goals. It should be double that amount, to be honest. So a little bit wasteful in the final third. But, you know, it was straightforward performance for Barcelona. And the result we expected. Elche, it's a tough old start to the season they've had.
Yeah.
I mean, I was trying to defend them and Cadiz on the programmes at the weekend, because 5 games, no points, 1 point, no goals scored. And I looked at, and I said, and each programme I was on, I said, have you seen their first 5 fixtures?
Yeah.
For Cadiz, it was really difficult. For Elche, it was really difficult. I think they played Betis, Villarreal and Barcelona away from home, the first 3 games. And when you get that fixture list at the start of the season, you, as a coach, you're probably thinking, oh, tell me about that.
Yeah, because we're probably going to get that, couldn't you? Yeah,
and then the Elche have lost, the, you know, heavily at home to Athletic in the last game. It's the goals conceded, but then you lose, the players lose faith, lose confidence after 3 or 4 games without a game and a goal, and then the pressure builds, and then you go, oh. So hopefully, for Elche's sake, they've got 1 or 2 favourable matches coming up where they might have a chance of getting something.
But then the pressure,
it's hard for a president
to
look at it, chairman, and go, the manager should be at the, before the season starts, saying to the president, look, we've seen our fixture list, let's go, God, you know, give us a break, let me get to the international break, I'll see what I can do. But you know, our first 3 away games,
and then there's massive pressure on him, isn't there, by the time those winnable games come round. Villarreal 1, Sevilla 1. Is this Villarreal with a lack of ambition here? Should they have pressed on and won this game? Decent result for Sevilla, isn't it? In the way their season started.
I think so. I think that, bearing in mind, you know, Sevilla at the midweek game, they couldn't rest players. Villarreal rested all the 11. So pretty much the 11, it was a second string 11 that the one they game in midweek in the Conference League, so they kind of should be set up for this. And I agree with you. I don't think they did enough to take the game, dominate the game, and I think the draw was a fair result in this match. And it was a decent performance from Sevilla. So again, some strange positional plays from Lopetegui, but again, I have to reiterate that the attitude of the players was good. They're working hard for him. They still have quality, whichever 11 he picks. And I agree with you. I think that Unai Emery might have been slightly cautious in this approach, and probably draw was a fair result in the end.
Athletic scored 3 goals at home, Terry. There we are. However, did we ever doubt them being able to score goals at home? Both Williams brothers on the score sheet as well against Rayo Vallecano. And Nico's in the Spain squad, isn't he? Yes, he is.
Yeah, been called up, been hell of a week.
Yeah.
First goal last week in La Liga. His first goal at San Mames this week. My first time the brothers have scored in the same game. I was asked a question before the game, what could Athletic realistically achieve this season? I haven't been asked that question. And I gave it some thought, and I thought my answer was if they can get the home form, something like what they've been doing away from home, without the distraction of Europe, with the way that other teams we expect to be in the top four performing this year, is it out of the question that they could get top four? And I don't think it is.
I think you're
looking at, if Atletico Madrid and Sevilla falter, then we're looking at Betis, Villarreal, Real Sociedad, Athletic without any distraction. And the reason I suggest this is, with all no disrespect whatsoever to Marcelino, the narrative constantly throughout with Athletic Club and Iñaki Williams in particular has been week after week after week, they're good, but they can't score a goal. And that's all. And you just wonder sometimes whether it needs a new manager to come in and not accept the fact you can't score. So I'm going to put Raul Garcia up front. I'm going to make us hard to beat. Play 2 hard-working midfield players. We're going to hope that Iñaki suddenly finds form. And then you then get a change of a manager who comes in and says, well, I'm not going to accept that that is what our level. So I'm going to change things up. And I'm going to work hard with Iñaki Williams to actually boost him, to think that there is no reason why he can't score 15, 20 goals this season. You know, we moan about his finishing. We did that with Vinicius, but Ancelotti changed Vinicius into a player that scores goals. Mm. And it's just giving that player, so perhaps instead of Iñaki here all the time, we don't score, so we're going to set up defensively because he can't finish on a constantly daily basis. Suddenly Valverde might have come in and gone, well, I'm going to change the style. We're going to have MGR wide, we're going to have Nico Williams wide, we're going to have Iñaki Williams up front. We're going to be a team that plays and uses those skills that we've got, which are pace in attack. When they go forward now, and you've got Mignon playing, being creative, the other big changes, instead of Danny Garcia and Vincent Dore in midfield, or Vesca, then they've got Sunset. So you've got one holding player that plays with common sense, and then Sunset, who's the creative one, the skillful player. So he's changed the dynamic of that team massively. Rather than relying on Raul Garcia putting himself about and being a nuisance, being a physical presence, it's a 4-2-3-1, but Sunset pushing forward, scoring goals, creating chances. Mignon does that. They've got pace and skill out wide. They were brilliant at the weekend, and so were Rayo. I mean, it was a really, really good game. Rayo took the game to them and scored with Trejo, and you're thinking, oh, that's a problem. Athletic can't score at home. But they did, and all the goals in this game were exceptional, really good. Even Falcao's last one was, as an ex-striker, textbook coaching manual, you know, to show that, you know, your young strikers, that's the movement you need in the penalty box. That's where you come alive, get across the defender. That's one thing. And then the flick with the outside of the foot and take it away from Unai Simon's goal was a classic Falcao goal. So, you know, it's good to see Lewandowski at that age. Good to see little bits of Falcao. It's Cavani. We'll talk about Valencia in a minute. But this game was a really, yes. And Negredo, it was a brilliant game. Athletic were fantastic. Rayo were good. And, you know, Athletic, they're on the out, definitely. And they're good to watch.
Every week, Terry, we there's some old striker scores, isn't there? I mean, literally, there hasn't been one this season, has there, where there hasn't been some guy in his mid-30s banging in good goals. Right, where next? Oh, what, a performance of the week, I'm going to argue, Getafe. Now, I know Osasuna had Jimmy Avila sent off, didn't they? But for a team that was they were bottom, weren't they, a couple of weeks ago, Getafe?
They've won the last two now, I think.
Yeah, so
turned it around, changed it. System again,
and to win away at Osasuna is a terrific result, isn't it?
It is. I mean, they were under pressure. The goal was against the run of play, the first one. Iglesias, but a great goal, really taken well by him. Jimmy with two yellow cards, ridiculous. Love Jimmy, love what he's been doing this season, but avoid that second one. Mm-hmm. You know, the challenge he made was silly. He thought he could get away with it. Foul on purpose. It was an attempt to stop the play, and he thought it was a harsh decision. And Getafe had to ride their luck, and they had to dig deep. They had to defend well, and they did exactly that. And Gaston Alvarez with the goal to wrap it up. So it was a surprise result in the fact that Osasuna have started the season off really well. But I do believe Getafe are back on track with similar to what we saw from them in the second half of last season. So a good result for Getafe, excellent result for Getafe.
Yeah. Valencia, now it ended up with an excellent result, but they you know, this was a proper game for quite a while, wasn't it, against Celta Vigo? Ended up at 3-0. Jerry got sent off in 59 minutes, which I guess was you know, decisive in this game, wasn't it?
And two late goals for Valencia as well. Yeah. So 82 and 93. So, yeah, for the majority of the game, it was competitive.
I want to mention Lino.
Now
he dived for this. He looked like he won a penalty, but his contribution to the first goal was exceptional, wasn't it? Because he makes a burst from midfield, and then he pulls it back across for Castillo. And they're another team with the shackles off a little bit, aren't they, Valencia? Not as good as Athletic, but they're quite nice to watch at the moment.
And Cavani,
the
right player for that group of players, a really young group of players now. I mean, Castillejo isn't young. Samuel Lino is an on loan player from Atletico Madrid, who they bought in the summer. So he's doing good things at Valencia. And to suddenly go from Hugo Duro and Marcus Andre to Cavani, with, and he surprised me. You know, he looked fit, he looked healthy, worked hard. And you know, likes of Mariba and Nico Gonzalez and Guillamon are younger players. So it kind of fits the bill that you do have someone up there who's going to be the focal point, who's going to show those young players how to live life as a top-class professional footballer, who's really good at his trade still. The secret is for Valencia, can they keep him fit? We saw he had injury issues at United, but you still see the same things Cavani's always been doing. You saw it in that game. And, you know, his first impression of Cavani signing for Valencia was brilliant.
Mm. Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. And Marcus Andre took his goal well. Almeida with an excellent goal as well, his first goal for Valencia. And their home form is good. I think it's 3 wins. All 9 points have been collected at home. And Gattuso hammered them after last week's one. You know, when they lost to Rio, during the week, he's been shy in saying that it wasn't acceptable. And there are players, there are teams that would not accept that. You know, players don't like. We often hear people say, you keep that in the changing room, but Gattuso didn't. He wore his heart on his sleeve, told the players in public, probably told them in private. And at the weekend, the response was really good. So it suggested a group of young players that are working hard for the manager, want to improve, accepted the criticism, and performed really well at the weekend. Celtic have been unlucky in the last few weeks. They've been on the end of a couple of big scorelines that they probably haven't deserved. They let go the week before, wasn't it, 4-1? And they played well. And they played well in this game and ended up getting beaten again. So, tough couple of weeks for Celtic.
Betis 1-2-1 again. Borja Iglesias. I thought the first one, I thought the penalty was a bit soft. But then
Bernardo touched him with his arm, didn't he?
Yeah.
Kind of kicked the ball against his shins and then touched him with his arm against the chest. I agree with that. I thought it was a bit of a soft one.
Yeah.
Borja getting called up for the national squad.
Yeah, and he took his second one brilliantly. It was a really good goal, wasn't it?
Yeah. Lovely through ball by the Girona player, wasn't it?
Right, yeah.
Borja was actually offside as well.
Yeah.
But obviously, it was a back pass, wasn't it? And just back to the central defenders on the halfway line that went between them into the path of Borja. But as you said, he races away and slotted it like someone who's the confidence of being the second top scorer in the league now. Six goals this season for Borja.
So is he going to the World Cup?
I really do. I mean, Luis Enrique wants that player, and it seems it's Morata's position to lose.
Yeah.
And you're thinking around, it's not going to be Aspas. He's never included in the squad anymore, so it's not going to be him. You're looking around the other possibilities of that focal point of attacking play. You look at the rest of the attacking players that are in the squad now and that can be called up. And it kind of looks like Luis Enrique wants that type of, at least one of those strikers, you know, to be the focal point of attack. It has been Morata. Then you have the likes of Ferran Torres and Oyarzabal in the Euros last time out. You know, Dani Olmo is another one that comes to mind. But for that one position up front, why wouldn't Borja Iglesias be an asset to the way that Spain play?
Yeah.
You know, he's good on the ball, he's mobile, he's dynamic, he works hard, he's got a good attitude, and in the last couple of seasons has shown that he's a top-class finisher. I'd like to think so.
We'll do something with the Patreons later in the week. I wonder whether we have 5 minutes having a look at the Spain World Cup prospects at that point. It seems, because you just started a season, it seems like the World Cup is some distant notion, but it's not far away, is it now?
I know.
It's a sort of weird season that we're engaged in.
I think there's plenty of option midfield and attack. The defensive selections, I question. Goalkeeping selections, I question.
Yeah.
I question them going into the Euros, but by the end of the Euros, you could argue that they had a case of being probably the team that should have won it.
They were unlucky, weren't they? Because they played brilliantly in that semi against Italy. Whereas in the group, they had been
terrible,
awful to watch. And the games were hard work, weren't they? Yeah. Yes, so we'll have a look at that with the Patreon. Patreon.com/LTEL, by the way, if you want to join us. Thank you to all the Patreons who have joined us.
Yeah, you're right. It's going to creep up on us, but all of a sudden it's going to be there, isn't it? It's going to be, oh, World Cup.
Because we won't
people
have
are getting injuries, getting hamstrings and stuff now, and they're thinking, I'm going to miss the World Cup.
Yeah. We're only 2 months away, aren't we? So, yeah, because normally...
Only a couple of games left for the international teams as well. This international break is the last one. Yeah. And then that straight into the World Cup.
What we won't have is all the weeks of build-up of and special features and all of that. The season finishes, and then a few days later, the World Cup starts, isn't it? So it's, anyway.
And then back into the season. I don't think any of us realise the impact it's going to have. We're just treating it at the moment. We know there's a World Cup there. It's putting it on the back burner.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's going to be, oh, there's no football for a month. Oh, no club football for a month. Mm. And what's going to be the state of affairs when
players
come back from winning the World Cup? Play from the highlight of their career, they're never going to reach that peak again.
Yeah,
you know, you might win the World Cup,
and you're away to Getafe next week. Get on with it.
We both said exactly the same thing. That's respect to Getafe. I think the fact they're so competitive, no, not being disrespectful, but that I mean, winning the World Cup, you need. I don't know how a player would the feeling must be like afterwards, let alone to think we've won the World Cup.
On you go. Couple more games. We just need to give a quick mention to Real Sociedad 2, Espanyol 1. Sørloth with a goal, although it was awful from the goalkeeper, wasn't it? Every week you see some goalkeeper doing this.
Alvaro Fernandez in this occasion.
Yeah, mate, just honestly.
Maybe touch. It was a penalty if it wasn't a goal.
Yeah.
Wasn't
it was the most obvious penalty. He kicked him up in the air, didn't it? It was only because Sørloth actually thought, might as well run and put it into the net.
And a well worked goal from a corner from Espanyol.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah, it's positive.
Really well worked. Had to be precise, short, back again to the player that took the initial corner, and then another pass.
Yeah.
Posito was unmarked outside the box and a good finish. So,
That
was a well worth goal. You can see Diego, the quality of Diego Martinez putting the time in there. Yeah. But I mean, they're struggling a little bit at Espanyol. We think they're going to be better. They've got a better manager. They've got more players. They've got Hosselu and Brathwaite. And they've lost Raúl de Tomás. The style of play looks good, but they need to start picking up some points. They've won a few teams on 4 points just above the relegation zone, and Bryce Mendes with a nice finish for the winning goal. So,
Cadiz got a win.
Progress again. Real Sociedad. Incredible game. Yeah. I mean, Friday night, I don't know how many people watched.
A way to Valladolid.
Working on it.
Yeah.
18 shots, 6 on target by the first attempt on target. First attempt in general, to be honest, from Cadiz was in the last minute, 92nd minute. Mistake from Asenjo, I have to say. He came for a cross that he didn't get to. And the Negredo tucked it away at the far post. But what was Ledesma was heroic in this match.
Mm.
It was him against Sean Weissman for the majority of the game. I mean, you couldn't be too critical of Weissman's attempts on goal. They were just fantastic saves from Ledesma. And then the trials and tribulations being a goalkeeper. One's a hero at one end when his team were getting bombarded. Asenjo very little to do, makes one mistake, and it cost his team. But it was interesting because Sergio is under pressure. No goals, no points. His team were getting hammered in the second half, and it looked a matter of time. You didn't think Ledesma was going to be capable of continuing. I mean, he probably drew good fortune after his heroics the week before in a different sense. And Sergio ended up with Lucas Perez and Negredo up front, Ruben Sobrino, and I can't think of who else it would have been. Theo Bongonda. So they were getting hammered, and they ended up with a four-man attack. And in the last 5 minutes, that was when they got the goal, there'd been a couple of warnings before that. A couple of crosses went into the box. Alcaraz got himself into the box, and all of a sudden there's all these yellow shirts in there. And it kind of looked like Sergio must have thought, well, they're going to score, so we're going to need a goal somewhere to at least get a point. And they ended up winning the game. It was brave substitutions for a team that were getting totally outplayed. Valladolid, Paqueta was. On the other hand, I thought he was slow to make substitutions. Paqueta, they ended up with so much of the ball, so many attempts on goal. he took Weissman off with 5 minutes to go and put Guardiola on, when he may as well have left Weissman on and put Guardiola on. So one manager was brave with his changes, and it fortunate got the win, and provided it didn't.
Mallorca beat Almeria, so they are up to 10th.
Yeah, that was, they wrapped that up. They got an early goal, 25th minute. It was pretty open until half time. Then they shut up shop second half against Almeria, and there wasn't much of a game in the second half. So it was Aguirre knowing, you know, we're ahead, hanging to three. He's an experienced manager, and he knows a game against Almeria is a relegation rival. Yeah. So it was clear how important he made it to his players. We've got the lead. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to defend it and get 1-0 wins and not let happen in that match.
Yes, right. So there we are. We have a little break now from La Liga. Nations League resumes, and then we'll be back. But we'll be back. We'll do something for the Patreons in the meanwhile, Terry, shall we? We'll do a Q&A. So any Patreons, if you want to get in touch, ask us any questions and anything that we don't normally talk about. Give us a shout and we will do that. And if you want to be a Patreon, it's patreon.com/ltel. Enjoy your football over the mini break, and we'll see you for another podcast soon.